Go with me, if you would, back to Ruth chapter 4. In this wonderful and beautiful story, and it is, isn't it? Ruth has been brought out of Moab, the land of shame, the land of sin, brought out by Naomi, who represents God's Holy Spirit. And I'm going to keep reminding us of that. And Ruth has been brought to a man named Boaz, who represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ruth came to him as a beggar in need of mercy. And Boaz showed that mercy to her. He showed grace to her. He showed abundant favor to her. And abundant kindness to her. He gave handfuls of purpose to her. She came just wanting a crumb. Just a crumb that fell from the master's table. And he poured handfuls of purpose on her. And she fell in love with him. That's what happened. And that's what happens. She fell absolutely in love with him. And Naomi, who represents the Holy Spirit, moved her and caused her to go to Boaz, begging for him to have her. And that's what will happen. When Ruth humbly came to his feet with that desire in her heart, asking him if there was any way that he would have her, his response to her was, this is what he said to her. She came just asking, would there be any way you would have me? And this was his response to her. He said, I've already told everybody in the city that I want to take you for my own. I've already made the announcement. I've already told everybody that I choose you. I have chosen to redeem you to be my bride. But he said, in order for that to happen, a transaction with the law is going to have to take place first. In order for that to happen, justice is going to have to be met. And the law is going to have to be satisfied before mercy can be born. So he said, you just go back to Naomi, the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm going to go have a meeting with the law. You just wait with the Spirit. And I'm going to go take care of this. I'm going to go have a meeting with the law. And I'm going to take care of everything. You just wait on me. Look back at chapter 3, verse 16. It says, and when Ruth came to her mother-in-law said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. For all of God's people, that day was the day of the cross. He won't be in rest until he finishes this thing this day. All of God's people, for all of them, that day was the day of the cross. And this is what happened on that day. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, Then went Boaz up to the gate. He said, you go back to your mother-in-law. You wait here. I'm going to go take care of this. Naomi said, you wait on him. You sit here and wait on him. He's not going to rest until he finishes this thing today. Then went Boaz up to the gate. Now, can you envision him doing that? Can you see him leaving this and saying, I'm going to take care of this? And can you envision him taking a straight course to the gate? A man with his face set like a flint to one place, the gate. It was customary back then that all legal transactions in Israel were handled at the gate. That's where they took care of all legal matters. It was a place where everybody could see and everybody could know exactly what was going on. Matters that were settled. If something was to be settled and ordered and sure, let there be no questions about it. All of those matters were not done off in a corner somewhere. Men did not go find them a side street and hide and make a transaction. If it was to be settled, everybody knew. And they picked a place where everybody could see so that all would know this is how it is. And when the transaction between Christ and the law concerning the redemption of his people, when that was done, it wasn't done off in a corner somewhere. Our Lord said this thing was not done in a corner. It was done before the judgment throne of God. It was done in a place where all of heaven, earth, and hell would know this is what has happened. This is the transaction. This is the purchase that has been made. So verse 1 says, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. Now the first person, I just love this. The first person that Boaz mentioned in this transaction was Naomi. The first person mentioned to this nearer kinsman was Naomi, who represents the Spirit of God, meaning the Spirit of Christ Himself. Christ is God. It's His Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ Himself was the first representative brought to the judgment on behalf of the sinner. In the transaction of our redemption, the Spirit of God Himself was the first name mentioned in the judgment. This is what Romans 8 verses 26 and 27 say. It says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So Boaz set this nearer kinsman down, and the first question he asked was, will you receive Naomi? That was the first question asked to the law. Will you receive Naomi? Let's establish this first. Is Naomi justified in your sight? And in this transaction, the first question asked to the law was, will you receive the Spirit of Christ Himself? Is the perfect, spotless, holy Spirit of God Himself justified in your sight? And this is what the law said. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I'll receive the spotless Spirit of Christ Himself. God Himself? Absolutely. Justified. Verse 1 says, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. And I love how the word it is in italics. It reads, If thou wilt redeem, redeem. He said, But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, the law said, the nearer kinsman said, I will redeem it. I will accept it. I will have it. I am satisfied. Justice will be upheld. Concerning the spotless spirit of Christ, well done. Absolutely. Verse 5. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Boaz said, Here's what you must know. Naomi and Ruth have been vitally joined together. Naomi went down to Moab and brought Ruth out of that wicked country. And Naomi has vitally joined herself to Ruth. Naomi loves Ruth and has identified with Ruth. And she has vitally joined herself to Ruth. And Naomi has said that her inheritance will be Ruth's inheritance. So he said, if you justify her, if you justify Naomi, you're going to have to justify Ruth with her. And that's exactly what was said to the law in the judgment of our redemption. Christ said, I have vitally joined my spirit with the spirit of my people. And by my spirit, I have called my sinful bride out of the land of their wicked sinfulness. And I have promised her that my inheritance is going to be her inheritance. And the only way that I'll let you justify me is if you justify her with me. Verse 6. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to myself, for I cannot redeem it. As long as Christ and his spirit, in all of his holiness and in all of his perfection, as long as Christ approaches the law of God alone, as long as he goes there alone, this is what the law will say. Justified. Amen. Accepted. Yes. But the moment Christ brings the sinner with him, the sinful bride with him, the law has to say, I can't do it. I cannot do it. I cannot justify what is unjustifiable. I cannot clear the guilty. That'd be a sin against me. That would be an injustice on my part. One injustice on the part of the law would mar the whole law. Isn't that what our Lord has written in His Word? If you break one, you've offended the whole law. Just to break one. If one injustice is made, the whole law is marred. If one speck of leaven, which is our sin and our flesh, if one speck of that leaven enters into the law, then the whole thing is leavened. If the holy law of God was unjust in just one point, it would be an unjust law. If it was broken in one point, it'd be a broken law. And that just can't be. That cannot be. In order for God's judgment to remain just and holy and true, every jot and every tittle must be upheld. All of it. So verse 6, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. I cannot look at that sinner from the land of sin and say, justified. I just can't do it. Verse 6, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. He said, redeem thou my right to thyself. What he said is, Boaz, you're her only hope. That's what that nearer kinsman said to him. You're her only hope. If you redeem her, she'll be redeemed. And if you don't, she'll die in her sin. But you're her only hope. Verse 7. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. And redeeming means buying, paying for something. This was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Now turn with me to a few scriptures and we'll see what that means, what that represents. Go with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God said to Moses, who represents the law. Moses is the one who God gave the law to. He said the same thing to Joshua. There's a book a few books over titled Joshua. And Joshua represents the Lord Jesus Christ. His name in Hebrew is the exact same name as Jesus in Greek. And to the law and to the type of Christ, the holy God said the same thing. He said, take your shoes off of your feet because you're standing on holy ground. This is holy ground. Christ's transaction with the law, it was a holy transaction. What does it mean in the fact that he drew off his shoe? Number one, it means this was a holy transaction. This was just. This was right. This was yea and amen. And verse 6 right here in Exodus 3 says, Moreover, God said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He said, you take your shoe off because I'm a covenant God. I'm a God of covenant. I'm a God of promise. Boaz taking his shoe off represented a promise. That's what it was a token in Israel for to confirm things. And when he did it, he was saying, I promise. This is my earnest to you. This is my covenant to you. This is going to be just and right and holy. A holy promise. And this is also what it represented. It represented him bringing himself down. You think about him taking his shoe off. Your shoe has a sole under it. And he took that shoe off. And when that shoe was gone, he stepped back down. And it represents him bringing himself down to bring his bride up. He took the comfort of his shoe off. He left the comfort. And he stepped down into that hard, stony, painful earth. And he did that so that his bride could slip on the comfort of everything that was his. Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, verse 1, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. That's what Christ endured when he took his shoe off for us. That's what his painful humiliation brought to him when he took what we were upon himself. Now, this is what John the Baptist said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Behold the Lamb of God. God's Lamb who humbled himself and took all of this upon him, all the responsibility of our sin upon him. Behold the Lamb of God. This is what John said. He said, I am not worthy to unloose his shoes. And he said, I'm most definitely not worthy to bear his shoes. But thank God he willingly unloosed his shoes himself. That covenant. I'm not worthy to unloose that covenant and bear that covenant, that promise, that holy sacrifice that he would endure. But thank God he willingly took his shoe off for his people. Thank God in holiness and in a covenant, he took it off for all of his people. Him taking his shoes off. That's what put shoes. And this is what I mean by that. That's what put holiness. That's what put covenant. That's what put a covenant promise on all of his people. Because he took them off, we get to wear them. Look right here at verse 11, Exodus 12, verse 11. And thus shall you eat it. This is your lamb, your sacrifice. You be vitally joined to it. Verse 11. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet. Your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. You stand there in the covenant of holiness and get ready for your redemption. Here comes your redemption. That's how all of Christ's bride stands. This is what Ephesians 6 says. It says, all of God's people are shod with the preparation of the gospel. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1. The great husband, you know, Song of Solomon is Christ the husband and his bride. And the great husband says to his bride in Song of Solomon 7, verse 1, he said, how beautiful are thy feet with shoes. He said, it is so beautiful to see you standing there in your covenant of holiness. Made holy, made pure through what I would endure for you. So back in Ruth chapter 4. Verse 6 says, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. He said, I have bought, I have purchased, I have redeemed, I've paid in full all of it. All of it. I've finished it. It's mine. Verse 10. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day. He said, you're witnesses that I love her and I've chosen her and I've given myself for her. I'm hers. She's mine. Verse 11. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, who Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Why would they say there's a son born to Naomi? It's because Naomi represents the Holy Spirit. And we're witnessing the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is all the work of and the result of the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 17, the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there's a son born to Naomi, and they shall call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. God made this poor, unworthy woman to be the great-grandmother of King David. And, you know, Jesse was David's father, and Jesse had a lot of sons. David was the last one. When Samuel went to anoint him, they started with the oldest. He's not the one. Where's the next? He had a lot of sons. And I was envisioning Jesse and his wife needing help with the kids from his great-grandmother, babysitting. Can't you see Ruth holding David? I watched her walk in with her great-grandson, right? I watched her walk in tonight with her great-grandson. Can't you see Ruth bouncing David on her knee, telling that little boy, "Oh, the Lord's been good to us. He's been so good to us. You want me to tell you a story? Why don't you let me tell you about the man who redeemed me?" What a blessed woman. If you think that's blessed, look at this. Verse 18. Now these are the generations of Perez. Verse 18 backs up the line to Perez. Let's back it up a little bit more, okay? Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah. Judah begat Perez. The end of verse 18 says, Perez begat Hezron. And Hezron begat Ram. And Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nahshon. And Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. And you know who the eventual son of David was, don't you? The Lord Jesus Christ. Blind Bartimaeus cried, "Jesus, thou son of David, God manifest in the flesh, God come down, Emmanuel, God made to be a man, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." God put this blessed woman, God's people are blessed, sinful, unworthy, from Moab. God put this woman in the direct earthly line of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel said at the announcement of his birth, "Call his name Jesus, because he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Whose son is this? The Son of the Highest. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Who's that speaking of? Our kinsman redeemer. That's who it is. The one who loved us and gave himself for us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Paid that with his own blood. To him be glory forever. Amen. All right, let's all stand together.